As you probably all know by now, Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day are the three parts of my favorite liturgical season. And yes, despite the fact that popular celebrations of Halloween have long since grown a life of their own, these next 3 days did start as holy days. They serve as an annual reminder to set aside time to share stories about the people who have gone before us, who helped shape our faith. I also happen to love stories that read in between the lines of the Bible to consider new perspectives. Once a year, I create a costume to accompany a first-person narrative sermon. So far, I've picked Esther and Yael from the Hebrew Bible, and last year I picked Lydia from the New Testament. This year, we turned to the Book of Numbers and the Daughters of Zelophehad. The Book of Numbers, the fourth book of our Bible, doesn't come up all that often, and neither does today's story, which is a shame because it has a very powerful and enduring message about God's love. Most of us are probably familiar with the story of Exodus, when the people of Israel rose up and escaped from the land of Egypt, where they had lived as slaves for many generations. Guided by God, Moses led them through the Red Sea toward the Promised Land, but before they could reach that land, they spent a long time in the wilderness, stuck in an in-between place. They weren't slaves, but they weren't completely free. They camped in lands that didn't belong to anyone. They'd escaped danger, but hadn't yet reached safety. They were somewhere between a land of bitterness and a land of sweetness, flowing with milk and honey. Today's story takes place at almost the end of their years of wandering, but not quite. The Book of Numbers is so named because it recounts a census taken of the men who left Egypt and the size of their families, in order to fairly divide among those men the new lands that they were soon to settle. A father's inheritance, after all, is given to his sons. Moses is now an old man, and a new generation has reached adulthood, having known nothing other than life in the wilderness. The daughters of Zelophehad were 5 women of that generation. Our second reading this morning comes to us from the Book of Numbers, chapter 27, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the daughters of Zelophehad came forward. Zelophehad was son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, a member of the Manassite clans. The names of his daughters were Mela, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died for his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no sons? Give to us a possession among our father's brothers." Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers, and pass the inheritance of their father on to them." This is the word of the Lord. We were not born into slavery in Egypt, my sisters and I. We did not pass through the Red Sea as it parted to either side of our father and the people of his generation. We have never lived in buildings made out of brick or stone or wood. We are children of the wilderness, brought up on stories of what we left behind, tantalized by the hope of our destination, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land unlike anything that we have ever known. Our people were eager to leave Egypt, and were amazed by the way that the hand of the Lord set up the events that led to the Passover, when Pharaoh finally realized that the benefit of our free labor wasn't worth the cost of the wrath of the foreign god that Pharaoh did not worship. or understand. Pharaoh let us go at first, but soon chased us down with chariots and armies and second thoughts and greed. As soon as our people had turned their backs on Egypt, they were filled with fear and doubt, even though they had witnessed the miracle of the 10 plagues that God had spread throughout the land, the 10 plagues that we, the Lord's people, had been spared from. They had been led to safety, but still feared that the Lord's promise of freedom would not bear them as far as the promised land. The waters parted for the Lord's people, but closed again and drowned Pharaoh's armies, and yet the people feared that the Lord's promise wouldn't be enough. The Lord provided us with water to drink and manna and quails to eat, and yet the people still feared that the Lord's promise wouldn't be enough. The Lord spoke to us through Moses, listened to us, counseled us, gave us laws set in stone to guide us, and yet the people still feared that the Lord's promise wouldn't be enough. They had lived in slavery and scarcity for too long, and they were desperate to reach the freedom and plenty that they could only barely imagine. Some grew impatient. They complained and grumbled and doubted and feared and grew resentful, and some, led by Korah, even formed a rebellion against Moses, even though he had shown time and time again that the Lord was with him. The earth swallowed them up, and yet people still feared that the Lord's promise wouldn't be enough, that the Lord's power wouldn't be enough, that the Lord's love wouldn't be enough. Our whole lives, my sisters and cousins and I, and all the young people of our generation, have been told that we don't know how lucky we are not to have known slavery, not to have been born in Egypt. We have been told that we should be satisfied with what we have and be grateful and not speak out of turn because we could never possibly understand what our elders had lived through. And yet, we trust that the manna will come every day to be our daily bread, because it always has. We trust in Moses' leadership, because he has always counseled us well. We trust that we will reach the promised land, because that is where we have always been headed. I wish that I could have seen the dry path between the waters, seen the staff of Moses perform miracles, joined in Miriam's song of rejoicing when they had passed through the sea and left Egypt behind. My sisters and I asked for those stories over and over, but our father never grew tired of telling them. Our father had lived through all these things that we had not, but someday soon, we will see the end of the journey he started. Well, he will never make it to the promised land. He died and was buried in the wilderness. But the promised land had been promised to him. It could not, according to the law of inheritance, be promised to us, his daughters. At the beginning of all things, the Lord our God made us and loved us and called us good and led us to live in communities governed by justice and kindness, sharing what we have with the poor, the widow, and the orphan. The Lord has always longed for us to look out for other people the way that the Lord has always looked out for us. The Lord has never loved one tribe any more or any less than the others. The Lord provided for Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, and for Leah, the unloved wife of Jacob, and for Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah. How could the Lord's love or justice or promise be for our father but not for us? The Lord led all of our people out of Egypt, not just the men, not just the able-bodied workers, not just those old enough to participate in the life of the community, not just the firstborns, not just the members of any one tribe. The Lord freed all of our people. The women, the elderly, the children, the younger siblings, the members of every tribe, even widows, even orphans, even the people whom the Lord knew would one day doubt and fear and complain, even the people whom the Lord knew would rebel against the leadership of Moses and be swallowed up by the ground. The Lord's love and grace and promise of freedom and salvation is for all of us. The promised land should be for all of us, too, not just for sons. We know that life isn't fair. We know that in many ways our lives are easier than the lives of those who went before us. But we cannot believe that the Lord led our parents out of slavery only for their orphaned daughters to live out their days as beggars in the promised land. We deserve our share of the inheritance of the tribe of Manasseh, not because we are bold enough to demand it, not because we are survivors, not because our father was a good man who did not rebel. We deserve to have our family's names be remembered and passed on. We are not just the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, a member of the Manassite clans. We are the daughters of the Lord our God, who has brought us this far and will bring us all the way to the promised land. We deserve to be included because the Lord's love and promise is for all of the Lord's people. The Lord has brought us to this side of the promised land, just like the Lord has brought all the men of our tribes, because the Lord's promise is for all of us equally. The Lord has brought us to freedom so that we can all be free. We believe that we will reach the promised land, and soon. We rejoice that a piece of that promised land will be ours, that we will not be passed over just because our father had no sons. We hope that this new law will signal a new beginning, laws that consider all of the Lord's children to be equal, because God loves us all the same. We know that God has brought us this far and will see us through to the end. We are Mela, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, the daughters of Zelophehad. And neither our names nor our father's name will be lost to history, because the Lord has set aside a portion of the promised land for us. Praise be to the Lord.